So let's talk about it. One of the things that I want to get into, I truly believe in everything, both in the relationship models I'll talk to you about tomorrow and the masculine journey, is first of all, creating an ideal model. What does it look like when it's great? What is a great example of a male role model? What does it feel like? What does it look like? How do you know? Because if you can picture it when it's great, when you can picture when it looks like when it's healthy, when everything's together, when it's strong, it helps you to see where you're missing in those areas. It helps you to see, you know what? That's true. That's a great model. I guess I'm just short in these areas here. But if we don't, if we live in this vague, fuzzy world of, I don't know, we'll see what it looks like to be a man, this kind of thing, it becomes very difficult. So I'm going to do something for you. And please understand that I come from a place of my dad being a pastor, you know, and I actually, because of the work I do with creating marriages, I actually am licensed to marry people. So I do. I have the coolest wedding ceremonies you'll ever see. It's so cool. I wrote my own stuff. And we have fun. And Keith, God bless you. He just got married. There's my brother. All right, one of our guys. I love this guy right here. In fact, Keith, I'll have you share on the last day. No, because Keith's got a great story of determination and willing to listen and overcoming all odds and stereotypes. And he's married now to the most beautiful 30-something-year-old woman. And they want to have kids. I mean, this is crazy talk. Duh. And so, you know, it's just like opening yourself up to the abundance of the world is an amazing thing to do. Here's what I want to tell you about. The best story of masculinity actually comes from the Garden of Eden. Now, before you get weirded out that I'm going to get religious on you, please understand the story of the Garden of Eden is represented in 40 different cultures. So this isn't just Christianity, it's a belief. Because in it, there are some amazing truths to be extracted from. And here's what I want to say. Imagine this for a second. Let's say the story of Adam in the garden was historical. So you got this guy who's living there in this perfect lush environment, right? The grass, the trees, everything's provided for him. In fact, God, who says every day he just came and walked with him in the garden like his friend. He has a spiritual connection. He actually got to walk and hang out and have conversations with God. That's pretty cool, you know? Only Jim Carrey got to do that, right? And so he has a spiritual connection. Not only that, God understands that every man has to have a task. We have to have a mission. So he says, you know what? Come with me. You see all these animals over here? Why don't you help me name them? So he actually gives this whole thing where Adam goes through and helps create names for all the animals. So God understands his need for mission, his purpose. He's in a place of abundance. He has spiritual fellowship. He has tasks that are meaningful. And he says, at this point, after he goes through naming all the animals, he realizes, wait a minute, all these other animals have a male and female. Where's mine? You know, then God gives him, you know, the woman. Now he's got this amazing hottie. You can just imagine the first ever. This woman had to have been, right? And their life is spent in the garden, you know, walking. And the interesting part is, I read things into this to the stories that most people don't see. There's a part of the story where it says when they basically, God had no rules for them also. The only one was just don't eat off that one tree. Other than that, you can kick the cats, I don't care. You can hit each other, you can cuss all you want. They had no rules. He didn't care. It's not about rules. God wasn't. So, but when they did violate that and they sort of broke off the spiritual connection with God, it says in that moment they realized they were naked. And I think this is important for us because there's a moment where we've crossed over into the imperfect and we've lost a deeper meaning for life, a deeper connection to the spiritual, which is our purpose. And so all of a sudden we realize, you know, we're not enough. We're unworthy. One of the things that I believe comes back in this story is that it says when Eve was sitting there talking to the serpent and it offered the fruit, that it says Adam was standing there the whole time and he did nothing. He didn't say, woman, what are you doing? We're going to get kicked out of this place. Put that freaking fruit down and don't talk to the snake. He did nothing. He let her go through the process and eat the fruit and killed it, killed the whole deal. And so there's a part of us today, our ache, our weakness is that we won't be enough and have enough when our time comes. Will we stand up and protect our woman? Will we be enough? And so what I want to tell you that I do, and this sounds really bizarre, but in the masculine journey, one of the things you've got to do right off the bat is learn how to put yourself first and love yourself. Because the underlying current of all of these aches you have can be solved if you felt like, I have enough. And if the challenge comes, even if I don't personally know, I'll get the answers. I don't care, I'm smart enough, I'll ask somebody. I'll be honest enough with myself to say, I don't know, but I'll find out. So the first and foremost thing is to learn to love yourself. Find spaces to reward yourself, find your happy places, find places to make sure you are nourished, be reading material, be personally growing so you have out of your abundance to give to others. So first thing is you got to learn how to love yourself. And this supports what Brian and all these other guys are saying as well. Let's talk about basic masculinity and femininity. And if I'm sticking with this model, even God shows both. Because it says in the beginning, he made man and woman in his image. In his image, he made them male and female. In his image, he has masculine. In his image, he has feminine. On the masculine traits, God's a strong and mighty warrior. He's the defender of truth and right, provider for his people, rescuer for those who are in need. He's the king of kings, yet he's closer than a brother, loyal and a kindred. This is the mission given to men. He says, and I love this, the mission given to men is to be fruitful and multiply and govern the earth. And I want you to take that beyond what this says, and not just about, you know, sex, about having sex and making more babies. It's to be fruitful and multiply and govern the earth. This is the calling of men. If you ever want to look at, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll, at the end of this, I'll ask you guys some questions. I have a good talk on finding your purpose in life, too, we could do if that's more important than the dating. But the idea of being fruitful is, first of all, what you're doing. Is it having an impact? Is it doing good? Is it producing commerce in the world? Is it creating friendships? Is it, you know, what are you doing? Is it producing fruit? You're starting a career. Is it, are people in your industry saying, you're good at that? That's a fruit. You know, if you are a friend to somebody and they say, wow, man, thanks for being there for me, then that means that's a fruit. What you're doing is having an impact positively in the world, both in your job and commerce and in your relationships. So first of all, be fruitful. Will the world know that you are here? The way it does is, did you touch something that had a positive impact on the world around you? Second thing is to multiply. Then as you grow, the way you create abundance, financially and otherwise, is then to take what you're good at and find out a way to then multiply that, play to expand it into a broader scale, make more money, create a business out of it, whatever it is, and to govern it, to own it, to be an owner of your life, to own responsibility, to be able to say, you know what, whatever it is, I own it. That means I can also fix it and make it better. One of the other things I want to mention on this, talking about what masculinity is, you guys heard of the book Wild at Heart? By John Eldridge. Have you heard of that one? There you go. Robert has. Wild at Heart is a great story by a guy who really gets into the desire of men's hearts. And he says there's three core desires to every man's heart. So if you want to read some notes, I'm going to give you a couple of things to write down real quickly. Three core desires of man's heart. One, he wants to have an adventure to live. Second thing is, he wants to have a battle to fight, something worth fighting for, a cause, something bigger than himself. So number two is he wants to have a battle to fight. And number three, he wants a beauty to rescue. A beauty to rescue. The ancient stories of climbing the tower, saving her from the guards, right? It's in our heart, it's in our folklore, it's in legend for all time because it's in our heart. We want to be the hero. In fact, I wrote a poem one time. In fact, I think I've got it here. I'll read you this poem I wrote on the dynamics. But one of the things I wrote in an article is women, we're dying to be your heroes. Men, we will. For a woman who will come along and say, you're my champion, I believe in you. Go get them, honey. I know you got this. Man, what wouldn't we do for that, right? This is something where the feminine brings our hearts to life in a way that nothing else can. Yes, we can find challenge that brings us to life. We need to build a good cake, as Robert will say, a build good life that stands on its own. But that icing on the cake, the thing the woman can bring to us is when she believes in us, when she brings her feminine energy, when she grabs our arm and she looks us in the eye and says, I know you can do this, honey. I believe in you. You're my hero. Man, I'm telling you, your inner warriors come alive. You will go take a hill for that woman. Through all of history, World War II, the pilots always had a picture of their girl in the cockpit, right? Dr. Viktor Frankl, in his book, A Man's Search for Meaning, said the guys who survived the camps because they had a purpose. Often it was just simply to go back to the family, the girl that was waiting for them. There's something the woman that makes us, brings us to life. We want to be a hero for a woman, and that's okay. That's okay. Understanding our heart desires the feminine side of a woman. So here's the three desires of a woman's heart. I want you to write this down too. The three core desires of a woman's heart are: one, she wants to be pursued. Now let me explain what it means to be pursued. For a woman to be pursued is, she knows that you're out there in the world, you interact with hundreds of thousands of people throughout the course of a month, and when you find a woman and you just say, wait a minute, you have my interest. Okay, I gotta know more about you. Please tell me more about you. You have this curiosity where it's like the world stands aside, everything else is black, but you have a curiosity. You want to know, one of the greatest secrets to dating, this word, curiosity. If you can be insatiably curious about her, it's amazingly, addictively attracted to them. Why not? You're saying, you're important to me. I set the world aside. I gotta know more about you. No, stop. We gotta have time. I'm sorry, I know you're busy, but we're gonna make time. I gotta know more about you. That's the number one desire of a woman's heart. She wants to feel pursued by the masculine. Second thing is, she wants to be an indispensable part of your adventure. Now let me explain this, what this means very carefully. This is such an important aspect. What it means for her to be an indispensable part of your adventure is, at some point, if she partners with you in relationship, and you guys are together, she's always asking you what you do. The healthy feminine is trying to find out where your goals are. In a sense, Annie Lala says this, she will almost fall in love as much for your passions and purpose in life as she will for you, because it's something she can attach to and help you with. Mm-hmm. Because it's her number two core desire of her heart, is to know at the end of the day, when you struggled with something, you guys fought to make it work, to buy your first house, she had to help you get through school, whatever it is, she wants to know that in your heart you truly believe you couldn't have done it without her. She wants to be an indispensable part of your adventure. So what I tell guys a lot of times, and I made this mistake, I decided I wanted to just create this cushy environment for my woman, bring her in, it's all done, it's all interior designed, all I had to do was walk her in, and here she is in the museum, you know, it's like, no, she wants to help build it with you. And you have to give her tasks, ways that she can help you. You can do this in microcosms and dating. I know, Brian, you teach that. One of the early things you can do when you're meeting a woman, give her something to do, right? Give her a task. It's like on the first time you meet, first conversation, give her a task. It's in her heart to want to be part of your life, to contribute, to do something. And the third thing is, she wants her beauty to be captivating to a man. From the time they're little girls, they wear the dresses that swirl, and they just want to spin around. They want to be noticed. They want attention. It's in them. It's in them. They're also attracted to things that sparkle. But honestly, when a woman dresses and spends an hour and a half getting ready, you know, it's because she wants that attention. She wants to know, you know, that it's appreciated. And honestly, there's one of those compliments you can give a woman that rarely goes wrong. He goes, "You look amazing." He says, "I know for me, I can get dressed in 20 minutes. I go, I'm sure that took you a lot longer, and I just want to let you know it's appreciated. Thank you." Right? She wants to know that her beauty is captivating. That you stop. Again, the same thing with the thing where you're curious, right? Captivating is the other word. Let's go, you captivate me. So let's talk about this. I wrote a poem. And actually it was inspired by Dante, so it was a little bit of, anybody's read Dante, you might recognize some threads out of this. Yeah? So, I know. But this is important because I want to communicate the dynamic between the masculine and the feminine. So as we're on the masculine journey here, and I'll get into more of the sense of purpose here as we wrap up in a second. But I want you to just visualize this story for a second represented in this poem. The woman I treasure carries a static love in her eyes. As she passes this way, every man turns his head just to capture a stolen glance. The object of her glance, when caught, even in passing, becomes less of this world, more radiant and transcending. When the man hears her voice, sweet and true, the things of earth just lose their taste and they dim. And when she smiles at him, even for an instant, there comes this feeling, a blissful sensation that's granted to men by angels and often materialized in the laughter of children. And from his chest glows this mysterious passion to serve, to find a quest, to stand on a champion's podium victorious. That radiant power of the glance, the voice, the smile, they command a noble quest worthy of this passion within. And this passion radiating from his core is more than ample for the quest. The wild man and his inner warriors engage in the fight, and the golden ball is his rightful prize. And now the woman, gazing upon this conquering man, finds herself overwhelmed with a new glow. Radiating from her own breast, she approaches the victor's podium and chooses this man as to be the object of her passion. A noble passion of its own, a golden ball with her name inscribed. And then as this woman, with the ecstatic love in her eyes, passes this way on the arm of her champion. There's no logic of earth to explain this miracle. It's just splendid, radiant, amazing, and new. It just is, has been, and will be for all time true. I want you to feel some of the elements of that. We all have been there. You see a beautiful woman, you're like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. And then she looks at you and you're like, what, you don't like this, what I do? And then she smiles, and then you actually talk, right? You talk, and then you kind of get over and you go, wow, that was really sweet. And then you go, let's get together. And you do. And there's something in that that draws it out of us. But I specifically chose the path of this story to be, you use that energy to get done what you are called to do in this earth, with or without the woman choosing you. She doesn't choose the man until he's actually accomplished his quest and he's on the champion's podium. Right? Now at that point, when you've accomplished and you're on the champion's podium, whether that woman chooses you or not, it really almost becomes irrelevant, you know, because you've accomplished what your purpose is. But you use the energy of the feminine to give you that extra boost because it's within us to do it. And then that champion is the thing that attracts the woman. I've interviewed over 100 women overseas from Ukraine to Thailand, Colombia, and I always ask them, you know, What are you looking for in a man? What are the characteristics? And among the top are always ambition. A man who loves his life and has a sense he's going somewhere. That is more radiantly attractive than you can imagine. And so I always say, if you love your life, you know, people want to join that. If you hate your life, don't invite somebody to join misery. You know? So you got to learn to love your life and put together a life that's worth attracting, and it's very attractive to a woman to find a man with some ambition in life. And ambition doesn't mean you're going to try to be the next Bill Gates. It just simply be, I love what I'm doing. It has great opportunity. I have so many places I can go in this life, and I'm looking for somebody to join me. But there's a certain energy that goes into that. And the man who radiates that, the woman chooses.